Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to MBR, or as we like to call it around here, Nothing But Rants, the show where I find topics that I'm oddly passionate about, and I pontificate upon them. These are not hot takes, but rather takes that I'm hot about.
Let's shut up and grab some tape.
What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome in to the Film Guy Network on another fabulous and loaded show. We got a saying around here when it comes to Thursday evening. Last show, best show. Jonathan, I coughed over your click. Normally, your little click over there lets me know we are out of intro and straight into a zoom out.
Well, you know, you're talking about how you were locked in. I actually held off on the click because I saw you're about to cough. Held off a little bit. That way we didn't have a cough welcoming the audience.
Bro, that's the only kind of lockstep you get with a man that you spend about 75% of your life with right there. I love you, buddy.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's good stuff. That's good stuff right there. Welcome in to tonight's show. Love you too, by the way, Kirk.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We got a load of one for you. We got a wild recruiting story, apparently. Can't wait to talk about it. We're going to take a look back at some of the previous five stars. Going to do a little like a recruiting back in the day segment. Guys, I think the industry's gotten a lot better, okay? And that's what tonight's segment is ultimately going to be about. We're going to play Guess That Rating with Jonathan again. You got one athlete for me tonight?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We got a good one?
I like it.
Good tape?
I think it's good tape.
The last one you brought me wasn't good tape, but it was a really highly rated player.
Exactly.
And I think that epitomized 2026 for us, at least at that position.
This time, so, I like the tape.
All right, we're going to take a look at this tonight
as well. Is it all 2026 class?
Yes, this is current class.
Okay. This is 26 class. What else we got? Ooh, PJ Fleck made the show notes.
Oh, boy.
Get your elixir out tonight. We're going to take a swig. And Brian Kelly making the show notes tonight as well. LSU, potentially playoff or bust. So says anonymous SEC coach. It's anonymous coach's quote season, boys.
Honestly, kind of a fun segment.
Yeah.
Just a season in general.
Just a good time period of the year where folks are willing to talk, but not under their name. Anonymous. Anonymous coach be getting wild this time of the year.
I mean, regular coach speak is we all know. They're got a lot of respect for them. They're great at what they do. State a fact by them and then move on.
Oh, I mean, I'll tell you I'll give you my full honest opinion about any subject on air, about 95%. I'll give you 100% off-air anonymous guy.
Mm.
Coaching world, two totally different guys. Mm-hmm. Regular coach on quote, anonymous coach quote. So we got some of those tonight. But I want to start tonight's content with some farmed out content. How about that?
Farmed out.
Yeah, I love when I can just lob one up to the audience about, hey, yo, do my job for a good 10 minutes.
Oh.
So here's what they're going to do our job for. I went to Twitter the other day. Apparently, we need to turn up our microphones. I went to Twitter the other day. Turn it up on Streamlabs, not on our actual mics. Took Twitter and said, hey, who is the most underrated college football coach in this here sport? Christian, who do you think the number one overall submission on this was?
For underrated college football coaches.
Yeah, the most commonly submitted response in this thread. Now, there was one guy who happens to have a relatively large show that hopped in the thread, and it kind of inundated the responses. But there was one guy who was an original response that this name popped up over and over and over and over again.
Was it Mike Gundy?
No, it was not. No, it was not. I think the Mike Gundy's underrated crowd doesn't exist because he's been around here 30 years. People have been talking about that guy for a while.
Yeah.
But no, it was actually Chris Klieman.
Oh, Kansas I have him State on head my coach. List. Yeah.
Kansas State head coach was the most responded, this guy's underrated. Now, you win at North Dakota State, and you got a really, really good program at Kansas State. And, yeah, I think he's properly rated.
Yeah, I'd say properly rated.
I view Kansas State as an 8-win program.
Yeah. Here's what I think needs to happen.
And if you're doing that, you're right there. You're a good coach.
And I think Kansas State needs to win a couple more Big 12 championships or, like, you know, get a couple more 10-win seasons before. But then again, he probably won't be underrated at that point.
Whoa, stop the chat. Purple Doritos mixed with Cool Ranch. What high-ass dude stumbled into that combination? I want to meet you, buddy. Who is that? Chase Pitts, you might be onto something.
That'd be my cousin, actually.
I've been carnivore for a good solid 3 weeks now, and I don't want to break it, but That might make me sounds fall gas. Off the wagon. That sounds gas. That's crazy.
Jeff Brom was mentioned. Jeff Brom was mentioned in this conversation.
Jeff Monken might also be a good answer.
Not bad. Yeah.
I mean, Army used to be just classic.
Support the troops. Army, thank you for your service.
Army messes around now and has 10-2 seasons. They went almost undefeated last year.
Yeah, not to do it schedule.
But yeah, they didn't used to be that.
Yeah, you're right.
They had a coach that elevated them.
Hey, they're handling the hell up out UAB. Mm-hmm. Shout out Jeff Monken. Support the troops.
I said Jeff Traylor. Exactly. Jeff Traylor is
head. Okay. UTSA.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's the head coach at UTSA.
Ball knower.
46-20 over five seasons, has an 11-win season and a 12-win season as well. 31-8 in conference play so far.
And you know what he does better than any mid-major coach? He'd be flaming these folks for coming to try to poach his roster while also telling his AD he's broke and needs some money.
Yeah.
The UTSA baseball coach did this too the other day. Those guys need to be careful. They're stepping on each other's money.
Yeah, I like Jeff Traylor a lot.
Jeff Traylor, good shout. Rhett Lashley got mentioned in this thread quite a bit down there at SMU.
Yeah.
You know who I think is flying very under the radar that was a very prominent name, or at least used to be? I don't think anyone has talked about Dan Mullen at UNLV enough. I mean, he's not going to have UNLV in the championship. They might not be a playoff team this year, but Dan Mullen is a big-name head football coach going to a program that is relatively small, was in a conference championship last year. I think he's somewhat underrated right now.
Considering where he was, I think you can make the case that he's underrated. But, I mean, this is his first year at UNLV, correct?
So correct.
Kind of the jury's still out on him. Now, I think he made some promising-ish moves, I guess you could say, in the transfer portal.
Big fan of Jake Pope, are you?
Hornet's Nest Jake Pope.
Oh, yeah.
If it's non-Hornet's
Nest. What about SI Swimsuit Runway Jake Pope?
Whoa, I didn't even know that existed.
Yeah, you got to peep that timeline a little harder. Maybe not, actually.
I don't know if I want to peep that timeline.
Maybe not, actually. I don't think he actually did the model status, but he was there.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of Jake Pope at UNLV, though.
Yeah, I think
I thought Jake Pope was a serviceable SEC player.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be a great mid-major player, I think. So,
again,
I don't know about underrated, though. I think jury to be out.
Mm.
But if I think I see where you're going, though. I think what you're saying is people think of Dan Mullen as this guy sucked at Florida, must suck here, where he's actually a pretty decent football coach.
Well, it's also like you look at what Dan Mullen, he took over a Mississippi State team, which we've seen what Mississippi State football is before and after he left.
And that was his first head coaching job.
Had them at number one at one point. Like, they were a competent football team. Took over a Florida team that at the time was disastrous. Had them doing very well. Now,
coach humping a shark.
Well, it didn't end up being him, but shout out Jim McElwain.
I mean, a pretty easy denial from him, right? There's no proof that it wasn't him, just other than his word.
I think there is proof that it wasn't him. Like, dang. It came out and they revealed who it was.
That's a shame.
But no, I mean, Dan Mullen has turned around two major SEC programs now. The thought that he's not going to do it at UNLV is kind of ludicrous to me.
Not a bad shot.
I think it's crazy it's only his third job as a head coach, you know?
He's been around for a while.
By the way, was great on television. And you guys know, if I think someone shit on television, I'll tell you. That guy was really good at television. He would say things as a football coach. Football coaches do not say things on television. He would.
He had personality for sure.
Did you just yawn through a take, bro?
Yeah.
Woof.
Happens every now and
then. Would have let another teammate pick up the ball. Come watch the Film Guy Network, where even the hosts are entertained.
My brain got too hot.
Who else? Subcategory of mentions. I mentioned James Franklin. Now, I don't think James Franklin's underrated. I do think James Franklin's over-criticized.
Yes,
that's fair.
I think he's just – James Franklin gets the job done at the proper rate. You know?
You were trying to make the argument Tuesday night that he's some mid. Because he was ranked fifth on
the FPI. No. The FPI said he was some mid. That's the FPI.
For fifth ranking?
No. The computer said they don't believe in James Franklin. I preseason ranked him number two.
All right, that's fair.
I'm a James Franklin wins at the rate that his roster says he should. That's what I think. So except for that one season at Vandy, he overperformed.
So he's properly ranked.
And got $80 million out of it.
And that's the thing is like, people who
maybe 100 at this point.
People who say James Franklin is overrated – like, what is he rated to you then? Because whenever you see like head coaching rankings or anything like that, James Franklin's probably like six. He's probably
never
seven.
Top five.
Never top five. And I think that that's where he belongs. Like, I think he is one of the top 10 best head coaches in college football. Because, I mean, he is perennially winning at Penn State. He may not be winning national titles or anything like that, but he's a good football coach.
Top seven coach at a program where we just got done ranking the top nine programs. Penn State wasn't in the mentions.
Did not get mentioned.
Okay. So, when's at a higher rate at a program that people don't think should be there if we made you rank them tomorrow? If we made every college football fan rank the jobs tomorrow, Penn State wouldn't fall in the top seven.
I think the problem that James Franklin suffers from is everyone thinks the brand should be there. Yeah. Penn State is one of these blue blood football programs that won numerous championships.
Because Paterno won.
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Twice, by the way. It's not like he ran off seven chips.
But he was – he's
dude ran won twice in 45 years of coaching.
But he was one of the greatest college coaches of all time and all of those things. Like, listed up there as
not to do it, but Joe Paterno, a compiler –
maybe. I mean, I'm not going to like –
if Penn State fans weren't mad at me enough.
I'm not going to die on the Joe Paterno hill, but he is one of the most iconic head coaches in college football.
Facts.
And see, Josh Gelson says he's Mark Richt in 2025. There's nothing wrong with being Mark Richt.
Mark Richt is a college football Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Mark Richt was listed on the 25 greatest coaches of the millennium. Like, that's not a bad comp.
Yeah. So, like, again –
hey, and this guy won at Vandy.
Yes, he
you
did.
You know what I mean? Mark Richt didn't – he didn't win at a high rate at Miami, did he?
He had three.
Yeah, one 10-win season and had that one game against Notre Dame that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
They sold out Hard Rock for the one and only time in Miami football history.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's another one.
But, I mean, Miami he also only had three seasons there.
Yeah.
So, he had the first season where first seasons are first seasons.
He's a two-stop guy, huh? Florida State OC to Georgia head coach for 15 years.
Yeah.
To 3 years at Miami, call it a career.
Mm-hmm. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
ACC Network.
Shout out Mark Richt.
Yeah, I mean, if you're 2025 Mark Richt, you ain't doing bad.
No, you're going to be kept around the game for a while.
Absolutely. Alex Golish, head coach down at USF, got a shout here. I think that's because he played Bama tight twice.
That's valid.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, where should USF actually be in the mid-major market? I think they should be a top-end contender. Now, granted, they just now built in their own football stadium, so they've been playing off-site for a while. That's kind of hard to recruit. Huh?
We're frozen.
Ooh, Jay Will.
Dang it, Jay Will. Did you step on a cable?
I might have. It's been a minute since that's happened.
It is fun that we've gone from that happening to be like, Jay Will, to remember like you used to like, Streamlabs is acting up again. Like,
bro, there was when we first built this studio, I spent an ass load of money on this place, and we couldn't get the damn thing to work consistently over and over and over again. That was frustrating.
Had to troubleshoot quite a bit.
I mean, for the first 6 weeks,
technology, man.
I mean, hell, I watched stuff from October 23 that looks like shit. You know? I spent a lot of money on this place.
Growth, baby.
Oh, we here now. We up. Shout out Potato Chip. Producer Potato.
I wonder if there's anybody that's watching tonight that's really confused by that.
I wonder if there's anybody watching tonight that remembers when – nah, I shouldn't even mention that. One will show up at the house. Actually, they don't know the address. Do y'all remember the time where random potatoes would show up at the studio?
Yeah. Oh,
of course.
That was cool. Don't do it again. Alex Golish got a shout. John Sumrall got a shout here.
Hmm.
Kalani Sitake. I think that's a good mention. BYU head coach.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was wondering who that was.
Yeah. I think that's a good mention right there.
They've been solid.
Any other shouts for most underrated football coach in college football?
Hmm.
Who's most overrated?
Some people have been saying Kirk Ferentz.
For underrated or overrated?
Overrated.
Well, Kirk Ferentz is a fair name, everybody's kind of out on the Ferentz train.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, once the Big Ten got rid of divisions in Iowa.
I mean, you scapegoat your own son, you know? That's kind of bad. That's bad for business.
Hey,
there's also been
you got to do what you got
to
do.
There's also been some questionable reports to come out of that program in the last few years to where it's like, what's Kirk Ferentz doing over there? So.
Fran Brown got a shout for underrated. I took him and Kenny Dillingham out of this conversation because they get plenty of love.
Well, not even that. Like, you can't be an underrated head coach after your first season.
Yeah.
Like, you haven't been there long enough to be underrated. Fran Brown is also, like you said, a star. Like, he's an underground. Everyone loves him. So, I don't think he's underrated.
What you smirking at?
The chat.
Yeah.
Where's Venables at on that?
Lincoln Riley might be overrated. Is that what you're about to say? But I feel like he's kind of fallen off.
He has fallen off.
I feel like everyone's
people have backed off now.
The PR hits have stopped rolling in.
Lincoln Riley, like the first year he went to USC, was overrated. But I think even now, like that's fallen.
That's
off.
Such a hard call to make right there, though. What you just did. How?
How was he overrated?
Buddy like took over a playoff contender at Oklahoma, maintained playoff contender status, and then dipped out.
Maintained playoff contender status for
at Oklahoma. They were a ten win program while he was there.
I mean, yeah, they beat up on a questionable Big 12 conference and took advantage of Texas being down to the tune of having Heisman winning quarterbacks consistently, which great, you're the quarterback whisperer in that, but you got to the playoff numerous times to get your head bashed in by, quote, real football teams. It's not only did you lose those games.
I thought he was properly rated when he went over to USC and has only decreased his stock over there. And I think the national narrative around him matches that. I think he's properly rated.
I think he's properly rated now. But I think like 2 or 3 years ago.
You're hindsighting that one. Well, I think if I asked 2022 Christian Kirby, who is still grinding his undergrad degree,
I would not have. I've been out on Lincoln Riley since like I was in high school.
Oh, so you stamped Hill. You were first one Lincoln Riley scrub.
I didn't say he was a scrub. I just think he's overrated.
Okay.
I
wish I could have met high school Christian Kirby.
Why do you say that?
Well, he was thick back then playing linebacker too.
I did weigh a lot.
Probably thought he was a lot stronger than he is now.
I was stronger than I was, or than I am now.
And that brings a certain level of confidence and a different aura about yourself.
I don't know. I don't think I acted that differently. I feel like I've been a pretty relatively same person.
Yeah, no, I was.
Throughout my.
I was not fun to be around at 18. Don't know how we got there.
Well, what I was going to say is, I think, too, what kind of gets forgotten about Lincoln Riley and his moves as a head coach is, part of what made him so successful at Oklahoma, obviously, is because he had powerful offenses, but he was also in a conference to where you could overpower everybody with an offense. You didn't have to have a defense because if you scored 50 points, you were going to be anybody in the Big 12. And I think he thought that was going to work in the Pac-12. And it initially did work in the Pac-12. I mean, he got them to he had success early on, and then they made the move to the Big 10. And that's a completely different style of conference. And that's something that we even talked about heading into last season of how USC is going to have to adapt to playing in the Big Ten, how Lincoln Riley is going to have to adapt. I think he's trying to make that change based on how he's recruiting in the high school ranks, but it's going to take a little bit of time.
Speaking of coaches, it is coaches talking season.
Coaches
be out here talking this time of the year, only anonymously, though, even though some coaches take very public shots. You know how many people I talk to now that have obviously connected the Kirby Smart comment to Mark Bowman in USC? It's like, oh, he was clearly talking about USC with the $20,000. It is a very talkative off-season time period of the year, especially as like media days start to ramp up. Right about now, we got anonymous quote season. Anonymous quote from the SEC coaching staffs. Quote, Brian Kelly is in playoff or bust pressure mode in Baton Rouge right about now. First question, do you agree?
I would say, yeah, I agree. You've got a quarterback that's entering his fifth or sixth season in college football. He's presumed to be one of the best in the country. We've even talked about that, how he's going to be the most experienced. He's going to have a lot of starts under his belt at this point. So, yeah, you'd expect that from him. And, I mean, we can realistically look at the Brian Kelly experience at LSU. It has progressively gotten worse as the years have gone on. You beat Nick Saban in year one, won the West, had, you know, a pretty really, really good season, beat two top 10 teams. I think people forget they beat the shit out of Ole Miss that year. Ole Miss was number 7. Then you 2023 had a 9-3 regular season, but you had a Heisman winner to supplement it. So, you know, hey, fun times, all that. 2024 was a downhill slide.
Boys,
so
we're a year 3 show. Like, by year 3, if you don't do what you're supposed to do by year 3, we assume you might not be able to do it. He's in year 4. If you can't turn a powerhouse, which is what LSU is, they're in rare air. They were in our top 9 yesterday. LSU football is in a rare air of college football. If you can't turn that blue blood into a top 12 program within 4 years, we got questions.
Not only that, but you've had a Heisman-winning quarterback, which, again, you got to the SEC championship with, but not during his Heisman-winning season. And now you have Garrett Nussmeier. So first year with Garrett Nussmeier, it is what it is. First year as a starting quarterback, but now you're in year two. Like, this is the true test for Brian Kelly because you have an experienced quarterback yet again. People expect him to be really good, maybe even the best in the conference. It's just a matter of all the other pieces. But if all the other pieces don't measure up to what you need them to be, that ultimately falls on you because it is year four.
We assume – I think it's safe to assume every year that somewhere between 3 to 4 SEC teams are going to make the 12-team playoff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it? It was 4 last year, wasn't it?
It was
Georgia, Texas,
Tennessee.
So three. All right. So are they a top three team going into the year in the SEC?
No, but
that's how they're being projected. Not firmly entrenched. No,
doesn't feel like that.
They can be, but
I do feel like this is fair territory for this football program.
Yeah.
If you don't make a college football playoff in 4 years, whoa.
I don't know if you necessarily have to make it. You can't miss it by like.
Yeah,
LSU was out of it. Like, they were 1-3 against top 25 teams.
So what if they do this? What if they're a 9-3 football team again that has one inexplicable, unexcusable loss like they have the last 3 years that cost them a college football playoff?
Do they beat the teams they're supposed to beat?
Yeah, but that's not what I'm at. I'm saying they get their doors blown off at home against Tennessee like they did the first year he was there.
Yeah.
Or they go out and lay a damn egg again in game one for the fourth year in a
row. Yeah, no, you can't do that. You can't do that stuff. There's definitely going to be, like, mounting pressure. But if you're a 9-3 team and your three losses were three really close games to top 15 teams,
yeah,
I think that is what it is. But you have to beat the teams as well.
I'm just thinking of the everyday LSU fan watching a third or fourth year in a row of, oh, we're a 9-3 football program. Like, we're just not good enough. That's not okay. I watched a grass eater win a national title.
Yeah, we did call it somewhat idiot-proof, bona fide idiot-proof.
It feels that way. It feels idiot-proof.
And it's honestly a very manageable schedule.
Yeah.
Like Clemson, Ole Miss, South Carolina, A&M, Bama.
Those are your five big ones.
Those are your five big ones.
You better go 3-2
mm-hmm.
and win the games you're supposed to.
Yeah.
That's my thing, Kirby. If they have the same exact season – where they win some of those games they're that are close, and then they lose a random one that you didn't include in that five, which he's done every year to this point, then you feel like you're having – it's like Groundhog's Day. We're having the same season over and over and over again, and you will have talks about firing Brian Kelly, I would imagine.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
Which brings my next question. What programs fit into this category, or what current situations fit into this category? And we don't even have to extend it to boom or bust this year. Let's say over the next 24 months, if this coach doesn't make a college football playoff, not win a title, not win a playoff game, make a playoff game, we have to answer questions or ask questions about, do we fire this guy?
Mario Cristobal.
You think so at Miami?
Definitely. I mean, yeah. The amount of money that they're spending right now. You just spent God knows what for Jackson Cantwell. You spent God knows what for Carson Beck. Like, there's a lot of investments going in the Miami football program. If you don't at the very least make a playoff appearance, Mario Cristobal's can.
I'm with that. And I think they specifically apply to 2024 almost, despite the fact that they spent all that money on Carson Beck. Everybody considers Clemson to be the favorite right now. It really feels like it kind of opens up next year, though. The ACC does, considering that Kay Klubnik will no longer be the quarterback at Clemson. Clemson's going to lose a good chunk of their roster. Feels like the doors are going to open a little bit. Next year feels like their window.
Got a good question here from the chat. We'll address it. We don't do this a lot. Everyone keeps saying how good Nussmeier is going to be, and I feel like they're not talking enough about the O-line turnover. Am I wrong? No, you're not. You're not wrong. Obviously, they lost two NFL players, Will Campbell, first-round draft pick. Where did Emory Jones get drafted? Was he a second-rounder,
I believe.
Mid-second? Mm-hmm. Both like blue-chip prospects on the NFL level at offensive tackle. Really, really good players. But they were a turnstile on the interior of the offensive line last year. Didn't he get sacked 7 times against Florida?
That sounds right. Something astronomical. They got beat by Florida.
Like 8 or 9 times. So it wasn't like he had
– third-round pick to the Baltimore Ravens.
It wasn't like he had a shitload of protection all year last year either. So, That being said, still lost two top 90 picks at that position. So they will probably take a small step back. I expect the interior of that offensive line to look better, though. That was the problem.
It needs to. I mean, they need to run the football better.
Yeah, everything from the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, they got to be better at. So I'm with you in that standpoint. Other programs, continuing that conversation, I feel like Alabama's here.
Kalen DeBoer is definitely.
If after 3 years at Alabama, Kalen DeBoer doesn't make a playoff,
oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
There were certain people in that fan base calling for his head after the Vanderbilt loss.
Yeah.
Not even the...
That's just pure shock, though,
those
right?
People were pulling their own teeth after the Michigan loss then.
I mean, yeah. The Oklahoma loss, the Michigan loss. Like, there are people right now that want Kalen DeBoer fired.
Uh-oh.
You broke the mic?
At least it wasn't one of us, right?
Aren't they still under warranty?
No.
Oh, man. That's tough.
We'll figure this out.
Yeah, no, God forbid we break the mic. Oh, shit.
I have Shane Beamer on the list.
Buddy, this guy hot mic'd me on saying Marvin Jones was going to transfer 7 months before it happened. A broken mic's not going to get you fired if that didn't.
I didn't say we get fired. I said it'd be a tense show. Damn, you got thrown under the bus there.
I mean, it comes back around.
Is that not the worst moment of this show's history so far?
Yeah, unfortunately, I was a part of it.
A part of it?
Yeah, a part of it. Anyways.
We're good. We fixed the mic. I love you for that, by the way. People thought we did it on purpose.
Maybe I did.
Jay Will said.
People hating on my boss.
Jay Will said, we need
Let
some
me
clout.
Shut you up.
We need some clout. Let me cook.
Let me rumble the news waves a little bit.
Let me cook right quick.
I have Shane Beamer on my list. Because,
really?
Dude.
He said it.
Dude. If you're not going to make a playoff over the next 2 years, really this year, when are you going to do it at South Carolina? When is it going to happen for you?
I agree with what you're saying about how like the you have set the expectations, you have the window now. I also don't know if you have like a rabid fan base such as South Carolina's doing this. Like I think South Carolina fans will be happy if every
just extended him.
Yeah, I think South Carolina fans will be happy if every now and then you beat an Alabama or you beat a Georgia or you ruin someone's season and you go 9-3 or 8-4 on top of it.
But, and with a guy that tweets that much about future commits, ain't no way they fire that guy.
But the caveat to this is you have the best quarterback in that program's history. And for everybody real. Knows it. They all know it. That this is the best quarterback they have ever had before. So you as a fan know
now
that.
Now or never.
Like it does kind of feel that way. And I felt that way about this of saying how this is a big window for Shane Beamer to really capitalize on. And it sucks that the fact that they have a really tough schedule this year, because I think there is an opportunity that they go 7-5 this year and it'd be okay because your schedule's that brutal to close out the year. But if you go 7-5 with the North Sellers and he ends up going first overall and he ends up balling out in the league or anything like that, like you're going to be sitting there questioning yourselves as a South Carolina fan, as a South Carolina program of, could we ever do this?
Yeah.
Like, is it ever going to happen?
I think there's the caveat of that is if Shane Beamer keeps consistently underperforming, if Shane Beamer keeps missing the playoff, like below 9-3 or 8-4, I think he'll be fine. Like, Kalen DeBoer can't do this. You have to make the – it's truly a playoff or bust. I think Shane Beamer can be – at least he's getting us close to the playoff. I remember when we were going, 4-8 again with Will Muschamp or stuff like that. I remember the back end of the Spurrier years, like stuff like that. As long as Shane Beamer keeps you at an 8-4 team, I think he'll be all right.
That's us, though. That's us talking about that program. That program, if we think they're an 8-win program, they think they're a 10-win program. Mm-hmm. They should.
That's
fair. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I think that the love for the program increases the expectations of the program. We're just dudes that try to look at it unbiasedly as most as we can.
Yeah.
And we know that they're an 8-4 program in this conference, which puts you in the upper tier of it.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But we also know you're not a 10-win annual program.
Yeah, and I say that, and there's also –
but you're right. You can't turn in 6-6s.
No.
You can't turn in 7-5s.
No,
fives.
You cannot.
The playoff's about to get opened up a little bit more. That gives you some more room. South Carolina would have made a 16-team playoff last year. If they get Landon Duckworth, that gives you some more hope potentially. I mean, you have Aaron Nolan on the roster as well. Like, there's a path to where it still feels like you could keep building up into this momentum because you have some promise at the quarterback position and you're recruiting well at other spots as well. But I'm just saying, you got the best you have ever had at this position before.
I got one for you. If Florida doesn't make a playoff in the next 2 years, is Billy Napier fired?
That's a great question. Because I feel like the margins for Billy Napier are so wide right now. Like, Florida could be a playoff team this season. There are people that high on DJ Lagway. And what the momentum that they built.
Has no one seen the schedule?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Florida could eat. Florida is a playoff team or they're 6-6. I think there's wide open opportunity for them to be both. So I don't know. Like if Florida goes 8-4 this year, 9-3, that's a relatively good season, but it's disappointing in some people's eyes.
It gets alleviated a good bit next year out of conference, though. They have FAU, Campbell, and Florida State. in 2026.
And God knows what Florida State's going to look like.
He's cooked.
Norvell, yeah.
He's in trouble.
You got to at least muster up 8-4 this year, I think.
Yeah.
Nah, get bowl eligible, bro.
You know, he got Brooks cursed. He got Brooks Austin. He might have been the first ever to get the Brooks Austin curse in person. Yeah.
You cursed him in person?
Buddy, I saw him at a Friday night game at Lee County Lounge the Friday after the Thursday night win over Notre Dame. And if y'all remember that game, he won on Thursday night against Notre Dame. Maybe a Monday night. Maybe a Monday night.
That was, they lost that game.
Well, either way.
That was when Mackenzie Milton came in. And
He had a big moment with his quarterback where everyone loved on him and said, hey, man, what a great coaching job. What a way to stand by your guy type thing. And I remember walking over to him at the Lee County game, and I always got something for coaches when I introduced myself to him. And I told him, man, I love what you did last week, man. I think you're going to do a great job. Just keep it up. All that good stuff. Gave him some love. Next week, loses to Jacksonville State.
Bro, you
catastrophically, too.
You cursed Mike on a Hail Mary.
On a Hail Mary. Walk off. Like, at least Miami did it to Georgia Tech. You know, you did it to Jacksonville State, big dog. Yeah, that was the next day. Oh. I saw him, said, great job, coach. You're going to knock it out of the park. Jacksonville State next night.
Ooh, that might be the patient zero for the Brooks Austin curse.
Yeah. My bad, coach.
Damn, dude, you ruined his career.
But I haven't tweeted I'd play for that guy yet. That's the ultimate curse.
That is the kiss of death for sure.
Kiss of death is crazy.
Is Lane Kiffin on this list?
Of
if you don't make the playoff in 2 years, are you fired?
No, I don't think that's the standard for Ole Miss football. No offense, Ole Miss fans.
So, all right, why is it
the standard for Ole Miss football is like 12 to 25 range. Just stay in there. So, yeah, if you make one every once in a while.
So are we saying that Lane Kiffin and Shane Beamer are on the same level with programs, expectations, and everything? I would have to imagine Lane Kiffin's at a higher level.
Kirby, if the East and the West divisions still existed, you would annually rank South Carolina and Ole Miss about the same place.
No.
Yeah, you would. I promise you.
South Carolina would be higher, honestly.
You think so?
But the East and West is irrelevant. Like, that doesn't matter.
I know, but now it is irrelevant, but we're talking about historical standards of the program.
I mean, if you did.
I think Ole Miss and South Carolina are a very, very similar program.
Yeah, I mean, take the divisions out. I feel like if you did your SEC rankings, or at least if I did mine, I'd probably have Ole Miss and South Carolina, like, next to one another.
And every year they'd flip-flop.
Yeah.
I mean, those are 8-4 SEC programs.
Lane Kiffin has had Ole Miss as a top 10 and top 15 much more consistently than USC.
Well, yeah, he's a better coach.
I mean, they were exactly. Yeah,
better coach than Shane Beamer.
That's my point.
Like, but I don't feel like Shane Beamer's in a fire or make the playoff situation. I don't think that's the case at Ole Miss either. You feel that way about Shane Beamer because of Lenore Sellers, and only because of Lenore Sellers, not because of South Carolina football.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like if Lane Kiffin misses the playoff two more years, they're going to start going, what's he doing here?
I think it's
making
fair.
Making a fun 9-3 program.
But that's not what he was brought in for.
Well, are you going to bring who's going to annually win 10 games at Ole Miss and stay there forever?
I mean, there's about 90% of programs we can say that about.
I personally think the way Lane Kiffin's been talking about the city of Oxford and about his life in Oxford, he is there for good.
I guess here's the better.
Both ways. They won't fire him. He ain't leaving for a prettier girl. That's the way I feel about Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss.
Seemed
right
like
now.
A dig. But.
Huh?
That seemed like a dig.
Why?
But I think that.
Guy did spend 4 years in Boca.
He can't keep missing the playoff because of these same reasons that have been keeping him out of, like, national title contention or playoff contention, of losing to Kentucky and Florida in the season to keep you out of a playoff.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's continuously happened with Lane Kiffin, of if there comes a game where you feel like either you should win or you need to win, oftentimes he hasn't delivered. Now, he did beat Georgia last year, but again, you follow that up by losing to Florida and completely smothering any of your playoff hopes. So if that happens again this year, or even like the next 2 years, then I mean, people would get fed up. I feel like it feels like it's inexcusable.
Do y'all want to continue Coaches Say? I got another Coaches Says. All right, this time we'll play a game of Big Ten Coaches Says.
All right.
What do you think Big Ten Coach says?
It's got to be something about Michigan or Ryan Day. Or ooh, the nine team scheduling, because that's the only thing people can talk about right
now. That's a good guess. What do you got for me, Jonathan? What did Big Ten anonymous coach say?
That Michigan is a dark horse.
Ooh. I thought you were going to go that sign stealing doesn't matter. We would have known what coach said that, though. No. Anonymous Big Ten coach says PJ Fleck is a 9-win season away from taking a bigger job.
9 wins, huh?
That's it. 9 wins in Minnesota.
Why was 9 the benchmark?
PJ Fleck itching to leave is the headline.
Ooh, itching to leave.
I mean, 9-win season away, trying to get the hell up out the gopher land. It is cold up there this time.
I kind of understand this.
Yeah?
I get it, because like...
Oh, I understand PJ Fleck wanting to get out of Minnesota for a bigger job. Duh.
Well, it's not even...
No offense, Minnesota.
That's what I'm saying, though. Yeah. Like, we went from... Think about the after the 2019 season. PJ Fleck was a hot commodity. It was like, hey, this is a great head coach. He's one of these up-and-coming names to pay attention for. And since then, Minnesota has been just kind of mid. So his name, the value of his name has dropped significantly. It's the same for Campbell at Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when Iowa State was like one of these fun teams?
Bro, Matt Campbell turned down $7.5 million a year from the Detroit Lions.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Matt Campbell, he's not getting that offer right now.
No.
PJ Fleck's not going to get these offers. So as soon as you hit that, hey, my stock is as high as it will be right now, and I think you can achieve that with a 9-win season. If Michigan wins 9 games
Minnesota.
If Minnesota wins 9 games this year, that means they will have beaten all but Ohio State, Nebraska, Iowa, Michigan State, Oregon, Wisconsin. Like, there are some heavy hitters on here.
Yeah.
You can lose to Iowa – you can lose to Ohio State and Oregon and still win 10 games this year. Mm. That's how manageable that schedule is. So if you do win 9 games, you're going to be a pretty hot commodity, which will provide you the opportunity to leave said school.
Which brings me to my next point. I want to play a game. We got to figure out the PJ Fleck market. And here's how we're going to do this. I'm going to throw a team name out there and said, hey, if this team hires PJ Fleck tomorrow, their fan base is happy or their fan base is rioting. No okay. in between. Okay?
All right.
If Billy Napier flames out and Florida hires PJ Fleck this offseason.
They're rioting.
Florida fans are rioting.
Rioting.
I think it's 50-50.
You think it's 50-50?
Yeah, I do.
Why?
Think it's 50-50 because I think that I'm looking at this kind of thinking of who would be available for you to hire first off. I think that PJ Fleck would likely be at the top of the list of coaches that you feel like you could take from their program that day and bring them into yours. He's been successful at Minnesota. Of the names that could be available, I think PJ Fleck would be a solid hire, but I think there's also fans that would be like, are you kidding me? Like, this is the best that we could do. We're the University of Florida.
Here's new game, Fleck or heck.
All right.
Fleck or
heck. Here's my issue.
Aw, Fleck or aw, heck.
Here's why I think Florida fans will riot about that. Florida fans are on their fourth coach now of a guy that started at a lesser-than school and moved up and has flamed out. Will Muschamp did this, Jim McElwain did this, Dan Mullen did this, and now Billy Napier's on the way to doing this. If you go out and hire PJ Fleck, a guy who's been middling at Minnesota, Florida fans are going to riot. As whenever the day comes that Billy Napier, you know, leaves or gets fired or, you know, retires, whatever that is, Florida fans will want the biggest name. Florida fans will think we can get the Urban Meyers, we can get the so-and-sos, whoever the hottest commodity is in there. We are the Florida Gators. We are a top
we
job.
We can steal Kenny Dillingham.
Stuff like that. We are a top job in
they
college football.
They would think that.
We deserve that. We don't need PJ Fleck.
And Jonathan, just the idea that they would think that means PJ Fleck's not good enough.
No.
No, that's why I said 50-50.
Yeah.
I think they're rioting.
Next fan base for Fleck or Heck, our newest game on the show.
Wait, is Fleck good?
Yeah, like, oh, Fleck.
Okay.
Okay.
Or, oh, Heck.
So Heck
man.
Is bad.
Fleck or Heck, Florida State.
At this point, Fleck.
Yeah?
You throw together another 6-6 or 2-10 season, Fleck looks pretty good. Might need some elixirs down there.
We got a Florida State fan in-house. Fleck or Heck? Heck.
Ooh.
He says Heck. He wants none of Fleck. You're not drinking the elixir over there.
I don't know.
Isn't it weird?
I feel like just considering where the program is at right now, I feel like Fleck doesn't really get you going like some other names potentially could. Like, I feel like you need to like
– I don't know, man. Them coaching clinic tapes are hot from PJ Fleck.
You need to hit a home run to rejuvenate that fan base.
Yeah, that is true. I'll go 50-50 on that one.
I'm going to go Heck. I don't think it's a flashy enough hire for a flame out after Norvell. Now, it might be a cheap enough one.
Yeah, that's fair.
When you fire Norvell, inevitably, if it happens, you're going to be spending a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's crazy in the chat. That's crazy in the chat.
Oh, wow.
All right, I think we might get a unanimous heck on the or a fleck on this one. How about Missouri fans?
Oh, they're flecking.
They're flecking?
Oh, they're flecking.
We went from 110 games at App State that one time to 110 games that one time with us to rowing the boat.
Like, if it ever, like for Missouri, if it ever got bad enough or good enough for Drinkwitz to leave and you get P.J. Fleck, I think Missouri fans would be happy about that.
You'll go from camo cargos to Lululemon tight pants.
Oh.
So that's a dub.
I think
I'm
going
to drip.
I'm going to go 50.
You'll go from flip-flops to show an ankle in the low tops, you know, shoes. That'll be cool.
I'm going to go 50-50 on this.
Yeah.
I think there are some Missouri fans out there.
I think they're flecking. I'm with you.
I think the majority of them will be excited, but I also think, I don't know.
Unanimous flecking. Mark Stoops gets dumped out of Kentucky. They're flecking.
Oh, yeah. That will
now,
be
here's the question. Is that a lateral move?
For Kentucky or for
you're going from consistently mid-level Big Ten team to a consistently mid-level SEC team.
100% is a lateral move.
It's a
but
boy, that set them Big Ten flamers on fire.
Lateral in the sense of what you're contending for or feel like you're contending for, but it is a bit of an upgrade.
It's an upgrade.
That
you're getting a better 5-hour radius of talent. You're getting more money from boosters and things like
got
that.
The
like
better
I
TV
would,
deal.
Look, as much as Kentucky fans care about Kentucky football. I think the Kentucky fans care more than Minnesota fans.
Now, Auburn fans would riot.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
But Auburn fans riot every time there's a hire.
No, they didn't riot after the Hugh Freeze hire.
They didn't like the Hugh Freeze hire. There were a lot that were critical of it.
Well, because of the things.
Well, yeah.
But not because of the winning. I thought most Auburn fans were like, shit, this guy beat Nick Saban at Ole Miss.
10 years ago.
They don't give a shit.
I mean, that fired Gus Malzahn.
Yeah, but anytime you get a chance to hire somebody who coached a game from a hospital bed, you do it. You do it.
I think there's only been one opportunity to do that ever.
We're one for one. About in a thou wow on that one.
A thou wow?
A thou wow. You want to talk recruiting?
Talk recruiting.
So what do y'all want to do first? Do y'all want to go through the 5 stars and say where they're going and project the available ones, or do you want to do old school recruiting?
What's the old school recruiting?
We're going to take a look at Penei Sewell and then look at another 5-star that was ranked higher than him for some random
reason. Let's watch some tape on
it. All right, let's do it. All right. So, Penei Sewell, one of my favorite offensive linemen ever to evaluate, particularly back in the day at Oregon. His Oregon cut-ups and his Oregon tape is like teach tape for, I have an athletic specimen at tackle, but not only do I have an athletic specimen at tackle, I want to do fun shit with him. I want to reinvent my offense. I want to do cool things with him. And you've seen Ben Johnson, when he was there with the Detroit Lions, do the same exact thing with Penei. They've thrown passes to Penei. They've done different things with Penei Sewell that you don't do with normal tackles. Two things about this. One, he was not a 5-star. I thought that was just blasphemous. The other thing about this tape, for some reason, and this is why we're doing this tonight, the industry, in my opinion, has gotten way better. For some reason, the industry looked at this tape and was like, that's a guard. I don't know why, okay? So let's watch it. Now, I was still in college at this point, so I wasn't at the platform to be flanked.
You're wanting
folks.
Penei right here?
Yeah, I wanted Penei. This okay. is the other guy that's not very good. The other guy finished his career at Texas State despite being a 5-star. So let's watch this. This is Penei Sewell tape. And again, watch this first clip and be like, yeah, that's an offensive guard in college. Watch all these clips and be like, yeah, he's not going to survive at tackle. Now, I understand he's like 340 pounds here. This is the heaviest that Penei Sewell ever was.
Remind me what his height was.
Dude, he's 6'5".
Yeah, the way he moves,
who
there's no way.
Who watches that and is like, yeah, he ain't going to play tackle
there's
in college.
No way.
And again, I understand this is the heaviest he ever was. He don't look like this now in the league. He's way
Whoa.
Smaller. Or way more fit, I should say.
I was about to ask, was it a pass pro issue? But no.
Jeez.
No, I don't know what they were doing. Especially, like, this was, I think, the third or fourth highest ranked tackle in the consensus rankings. Wait until you see the number one ranked tackle. It made no sense.
Yeah, dude, that's 340 moving like that?
Yeah, guard, though.
Remind me where he played.
This would be Hawaii football, right?
That might have some.
No. They're from Utah. Mm-hmm. Aren't the Sewells from Utah?
I think so, yeah.
I think they're from the Salt Lake area.
Okay.
Oh my Lord.
Shit. Why that?
We just watched a murder.
Why was that not your first tape?
Yeah, let's not jump, ladies and gentlemen. This poor, oh my God. That kid was bitching for a hold.
Yeah.
It got death planted.
Yeah, he played high school in Utah.
Yeah, ball knower.
You can turn your back within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage.
Oof. Look at that acceleration. Did you see the change in speed from a 340-pounder on this clip? Watch once he realizes the guy's trying to set the edge on him and turn this back in. Right here, after the highlight, whoa, just close space on a little dude. Bro, what? Shut up.
What?
Ooh. Did you see him spin? Full speed spin, not fall on your ass, and go make a play. What? Hey, a guard, though.
Yeah, there's no way.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, that alone, thinking that this kid's not going to survive out on the edge, watching that, is crazy to me. All right? And then you add on top of that that we rank this guy coming up ahead of this. Okay? Let's go watch this tape. This is him right here?
Yeah.
All right, let's go watch this tape. This is senior tape. We just got done watching junior tape. Watch this senior tape. This was the highest ranked tackle in 2018. Mm-hmm. The 2018 class. What's this guy's name again?
His name.
I got it right here on the clips. My man, Bray Walker. Okay, Bray Walker was a 5-star, committed to Oklahoma, was a spot player playing special teams and, like, might get in at guard if somebody breaks a hip. All right, and then transferred to Texas State where he finished his career. This was a 5-star, ladies and gentlemen.
I will say, off the bat, much bigger frame.
Yeah. And that's what they were doing. That's all they were doing. They didn't watch this. I don't know what. Again, man, no shame on this guy. College football player, God gifted you with a frame. This is not 5-star tape. This was never 5-star tape. It shouldn't have been 5-star tape.
Not very accelerated.
Buddy.
Not great acceleration.
Yeah, there's just no pop.
Nothing pops. Nothing pops about the tape. Nothing.
Very much I'm bigger than everyone, so I can just catch them and stop them from going
Kirby,
anywhere.
Honestly, I think what might have happened in this was a kid that must have showed up to the opening when it was a thing and had one good day in one-on-ones, and everybody's like, Jesus, did y'all see that guy? And
they didn't watch the tape on it. This was back in the days like of the opening where you did the one-on-one drills. You could do 17 jukes,
yep.
Put a kid on his face, and you were a 5-star.
Yep.
Which is unfortunate, but you went viral doing it, and everyone's like, oh, my God, this kid's – and then people started catching, like, this isn't real football. That shit's never going to work.
Do you remember Kenyatta Goodwin?
Yes.
It reminds me very similar, and I know that was more recent, and the industry missed on that one. I didn't, but the industry missed as a whole on that one. Because we saw such a drastic body change, and he's 6'7", or I think he was actually like 6'9". But you see a guy like that, I think it's a very similar thing. I think he had a good day at one maybe opening or one maybe camp, and it went nuts like this.
Is the Nike opening still even a thing?
No. Now, Elite 11 is trying to bring it back. That's the best clip he's got, but even that. But, yeah, I just don't know how – I don't think the industry would miss that bad anymore. Or at least right now, watching it as closely as we do when we watch these things – we're not like, whoa, that's not normal. That's not right. That doesn't make sense. These guys are bad at their job. We're not doing that right now actively, and we're researching it way harder than we were back then.
I think this is also the era of time when recruiting was mostly done through going to these mega camps and seeing how players did. And like you said, you were a couple of good one-on-ones away and – my God, how tall is this guy? And all that for being a 5-star.
I think – and nowadays, I think – these program or these systems, right, 24/7 on 3, I think they're far more reliant on coaching evals than they are their own.
That makes absolute sense.
I think they're
sense.
Far more reliant in their ranking system on what do the other programs think of these kids,
because
they're far more connected nowadays. So yeah, there's that. I thought that was an interesting thing to do. Just go back and look at that and be like, whoa, how'd they do that? Now, other thing I think is interesting, guys, we are in June. It's June 5th. And I'm looking at these blue chippers, right? These 5-stars on these consensus rankings. And I feel like I kind of know where most of these guys are going to go. Okay, so most of them are already committed, right? I think half of the top 32 players in the country are already verbally committed to a university. So let's go through this. I think this might be interesting just from an intel standpoint from everyone that is curious about where some of these guys might be going. I'll give you what I think, right? Number one player in America on the consensus ranking is Faison Brandon. He's locked into Tennessee. Zion Ealy is currently committed to Maryland. I don't know if that's going to stay locked in. I feel like he's at least approachable with regards to his recruitment process, or at least hasn't publicly shut it down yet. Mm-hmm. Keyshawn Henderson has. He didn't commit.
A couple hours ago.
Yeah, a couple mm-hmm. hours ago, right before the show, said, I'm canceling my visit to Florida State. I'm going to Houston. Tristan Keyes is committed to LSU, but he is very, very available right now. So Miami just got done with the official visit. I think he set up another one with another program as well. I think LSU is going to do everything they can to hold on there, but that's going to be a competitive one to do, especially with Miami in the mix. Felix Ojo, the five-star offensive tackle, I think he's going to end up at Texas. Kenyi Pepe is committed to USC, the next highest-rated offensive tackle. I think that one stays. That's an IMG Academy kid. We'll see. Lamar Brown.
He's their highest ranked in the class now with Xavier Griffin gone.
Correct. Lamar Brown is a five-star offensive tackle?
D-lineman,
excuse me. I think he's going to end up at LSU. Xavier Griffin, I think he's going to end up at Alabama. If he doesn't end up at Alabama, I would look out for Texas in that one from everything that I've heard. Even though LSU's trying, Miami's trying, everybody's trying. I think it's really Bama and then Texas followed. Jared Curtis, obviously, to Georgia. Jackson Cantwell to Miami. I think both of those are solid. I tend to believe that Sadarian Morgan is going to end up at Auburn because I think Bama is in heavy contention for a lot of these other names on this list, Xavier Griffin included. So it's a financial game at this point, and I think you're going to have to start making some selections. Sadarian Morgan probably, I think Auburn, and then Bama, and then Georgia right there in that kind of like three range. Braylon Womack, safety out of Mississippi. How about a Mississippi safety? I think going to go to Ohio State. I think. But, again, just like we had the conversation with Bama and just like we had the conversation with Auburn, I think Ohio State's in the mix for Jet Washington, Kobe Bryant's nephew. So you're going to have to start maybe picking and choosing. Ryder Lyons, the number two-rated quarterback, number three-rated quarterback in the country, I think is going to Oregon.
So that's an interesting one because reading other recruiting sites, USC's getting up a lot of momentum here.
Yeah.
So the question I have for you is if he lands USC – what is Oregon's next move? Because it felt like Ryder Lyons was a contingency plan after missing out on Jared Curtis.
You punt on the class.
Oregon has a QB in the class, I thought. Do they not?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Let me look.
I think they do. I think they already have a QB in the class.
Okay. I could be completely forgetting that, but I'm not as tapped in as I should be to Oregon recruiting.
Or at least I thought they did.
No Q.
Okay. He may have decommitted, if I remember correctly. Yeah.
So no it feels Q like currently. So it feels like you like to go 0-2 there is pretty.
It would not be good.
No.
You'd be punting on the class and focusing on 27, which I don't think is so far. I don't think it's as good as 26 from what I'm looking at.
And like you said.
There's not a Ryder Lyons available to Oregon right now.
Like you said earlier this week, too. Like, if you're not in the game now, you're out of it.
Yeah.
So.
Be interesting to see how that one finishes. I just penciled him right into Oregon after they missed on Curtis. Mm-hmm. Same thing with.
Oh, here you go. According to 247 Sports, Ryder Lyons has canceled his official visit to USC.
He's going to Oregon.
That's good.
Jordan Edmonds, I think, stays at Alabama, even though everyone's trying there. Rodney Dunham, five-star edge rusher, is going to Notre Dame. Darius Gray, an interior offensive lineman that's the highest-rated guard prospect in the country. I was speaking to some sources today on this before the show. I'm leaning South Carolina right now. Reason being, you know this, Jonathan, because you've been helping us cover him for a while. South Carolina doesn't have the ability to sign three or four or five stars every class. But when they circle one, they do a pretty damn good job of getting him as long as he's a position player. They haven't done this yet with quarterback. But when they circle a Dylan Stewart, they land him. When they circle a Nick Harbor, they land him. When they circle a Darius Gray, Shane Beamer does what he can do to get that guy on campus.
100%.
So I feel good about their chances. Now, the only player I'm not going to forecast I feel good about this one, is Savion Hyder. I ain't got a clue. And every coach I talk to is like, oh, we feel good, which means none of y'all feel good.
Right.
You're all wondering what's going to happen. So there's that. Jet Washington, again, these two safeties that are really, really highly rated. I think right now Ohio State's got a good chance to land them both. Gabriel Ascenda is the offensive tackle committed to Tennessee. I think he stays there. Baylor school kids ain't leaving. UT commits. Tyler Atkinson, the five-star out of Georgia. Right now, if I had to forecast him, I think Ohio State, Georgia close second, Texas maybe third. Auburn still in the mix there, I think, as well. Calvin Russell, five-star out of Northwestern, a high school in Miami, Florida. Anybody got a guess where he might end up?
Probably Miami.
Yeah, he probably going to be with them Hurricanes. Emmanuel Iheanacho, same concept as Ryder Lyons. Just go ahead and commit to Oregon, buddy. Like, we're waiting on it. All of us are. Tristan Givens, I think, is going to end up at Tennessee. That's that edge rusher out of Carver-Columbus that I like a lot. Dia Bell committed to Texas. Jermaine Bishop committed to Texas. I think Jariah Edwards right now today, I think I'd forecast him to Georgia. So there's another five-star for the Bulldogs. Chauncey Kinnon, a cornerback out of Sarasota, Florida. Looks like right now I'm going to say LSU or Florida State. Trenton Henderson, another five-star edge rusher, USC or Florida right about now. Kid out of Pensacola. So maybe commits to USC and then ends up at Florida late in the class. That tends to happen quite often. Brandon Arrington, an athlete, 6 foot, 280 pounds, out of California. Texas A&M on an official visit today. Starts his OV today with A&M. I think they got a good shot. If it's not going to be the Aggies, look out for USC there. Joey O'Brien, one of the higher-rated safeties in the country, going to commit June 20th. I think it's between Notre Dame or Penn State. USC and Oregon in the mix there as well. Mark Bowman, obviously committed to USC. The last player tonight that we're going to project, Bryce Perry-Wright out of Buford. He a Clemson Tiger. I mean, Texas A&M can think they got a chance. That kid's got Clemson Tiger written all over him. Born to be a Tiger.
Go Tigers.
That's wrong school.
No, he this is Geo Tigers.
Go Tigers.
My bad.
That's decent. Not go, bad, Swamp Monster.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. That's all I got.
Would you like to bring back one of our previous segments that we did earlier in the
year? Oh, yeah, dude. I'm juiced for this. Get it loaded up. We're going to guess that rating. Guess that rating on this individual player that Jonathan's going to throw up on the board. This is our favorite game show here on the Film Guy Network.
Yes, it is. So last time, you and Christian were not big fans on the tape that I presented you.
We weren't locked in either.
But it was to kind of show you, like, hey, this guy is one of the higher-rated players in the country, but you guys don't love the tape. This one, I'll just say I like the tape.
You like the tape. Okay. Let's take a look at this here tape. We love when we find a leftover rain sitting over here.
Oh.
Ooh. Okay. Huh. Now, wide receivers are weird in this game. It's very high yield rates here, okay? Mm-hmm. We can watch five-star tape like we did the other day with Sadarian Morgan, and we can all be like, big, don't know if I love it. And then we can watch a dude that's just a freak on tape that maybe not tests very well or goes to camps and is like a three-star, but he's a dude. So wide receivers, I think, have the highest variance rate. Oh, my God, the go-go off the line. Are we going to score? No. Oh, what?
Mm-hmm.
That's shitty tackling.
All right, I'm bordering four-star right now. Hey, can I get a height and weight guess here? I'm guessing 6'1", 195.
Close on the weight. He's listed at 6'3", 180.
Oh, we're a big boy. This kid's guaranteed four-star. If he's rated anything less, I'm calling coaches today. 2026?
Yes.
Is he committed?
No.
Jesus. He's playing big-time football, too.
Oh, it froze. Damn.
Dang, Jay.
I didn't hit the wire.
You hit
the
wire.
Big time football, too, isn't he?
Yes, this is Texas football.
I'm going to say, bad, Chad. I'm going to say three star. Just because the tape is too good.
Like, keep playing the tape when we get a chance so Chad can watch it, too.
Okay.
If we saw a tape like this from a four star, we would know about this kid.
You think so? This clip right here is nuts.
Yeah.
These next two plays are like, what in the world? The immediate life right there is insane. Do we got track times too, Jonathan?
Let me check on that for you. This is not Booby Feaster.
All-time name, though.
He's a 27 as well. Oof.
Yes, we do have track times. Logged 100 meter reps of 10.9 and 10.95.
I haven't done that one yet.
That's pretty good.
Track time on the dot. Was that a hell of a play?
You missed a play.
I was too busy marveling at myself. Yeah, I'm with Kirby. I think you're tricking us here. I think we got a 3-star.
This is 5-star Tate, but the fact that we don't know who it is or have any inkling.
What do we got, Kirby? Or Jonathan?
This player's name is Zion Robinson. He is a 4-star out of the state of Texas. He is the 71st best player in the country.
That's fitted.
That's about right.
I like that tape more than Sedarian Morgan.
Yeah, that's why I put it on here.
I like that tape a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that looked like to me? That looked like Burns from LSU is what that looks like. Very wiry at 6'3", with a lot of juice.
Do we have, who's hot on his trail?
That's the thing is, like, it's a weird bunch of schools. Like, Stanford is in the mix on this one.
We got a high GPA guy, too.
TCU's in the mix.
Sign me up.
Baylor's in the mix. Michigan's in the mix. Miami's in the mix. Like, it's a weird bunch of schools.
Let that kid go to Baylor. He's going to go 300 yards a week.
Now, it doesn't say that Baylor has an official visit, so they might be out now. But Stanford gets the final official visit.
Where's Texas Tech at on this?
Don't see them. They're waiting for the year, too.
Oh, yeah, you're right. They're waiting for him to do well in college and then overpay him to transfer.
Yeah. Now let us give you millions.
Yeah, now. Now we love you. You proved your worth elsewhere. We'll overpay you.
Yeah, so I thought that was fun tape.
That is fun. That's very good tape.
I like that kid a lot.
Yeah.
Underrated.
Yeah, I agree.
My man right there. Zion Robinson?
Yep, that's his name.
You're going to get a follow from him on Twitter if I'm not already following him. That's good tape right there, Jonathan. Good shit. Good shit right there. What else we got today?
Oh, we got some of the best content ever, baby.
Oh. Which one? Diddyisms or golf?
Both.
Yeah, if you haven't watched Front Nine, you should after tonight's show. Jonathan and I rank the top 9 college football coaching jobs in the sport while also trying to play 9 holes. That was fun. You should watch that. Hit a like, hit a subscribe, hit all that good stuff. But also, because of that, we got an off-season Diddy.
We did.
So, do you think there are people that have found us since January and have no idea what they're about to get hit in the face with?
God, I hope so. Because if this is your first introduction to the Diddy counter, you're in for a special treat.
You know what? That teases it properly. Hit him in the face with Diddy. Everybody loves a comeback story. You know, so let's give her a nice poke with this here 5-iron. Hey, yo. Oh, man, I can feel that camera on me. It doesn't feel good. That might be in the hole. Oh, yeah, baby. Give it to me. You go get this out of the hole for me, buddy? Oh, my God, that'd get me off. So we're going to whack her into the bush. We'll take the stroke. Hey, bro, if we die like this, we're smoking Murray ass. Oh, yeah, come on back, baby.
Why are you looking at my ass?
I mean, you know me. I'll be checking dudes. I'll be checking dudes. I'm not afraid to let you know that I peep dudes.
Rip it and rip it, baby.
Rip it and rip it, baby.